Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 128. Yes, this is the blank stare edition here at the Caffeination for a couple reasons. We'll get to it in a minute or so. But first of all, we'd like to welcome back all of our continued subscribers. We'd like to say a big hi and howdy and how are you to everybody who's listening in for the first time. And if you are, just in case, this show is located at the website www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. It's kind of a amalgam of the words caffeine and nation. It was originally meant to be a webcomic, believe it or not, but I found out that I can't draw and really not that funny at times, so I decided to try this. And so far, 128 shows later, I think we're doing all right. Given the average is like 10 shows or so, and then lose interest, and so I think we're doing all right. Think we're doing good. I want to give people a little bit of general information, little bit of things to start off the beginning of the show here. First off, the blank stare is kind of usually when I'm sitting there trying to find a good name for the episode, something interesting, something nifty, something that we haven't done before. See, I've used most of the titles that I would use with regularity. If you heard that little blip there, the boy was crying in the background. Apparently he's having nightmares, so he's just giving out these really weird random cries in the middle of the night. It's quite disconcerting when you really think about it, but at least nothing's really wrong. Everybody's getting slightly healthier as the day goes on, as the weeks go on here in the household. My dad's still in the hospital, for those of you who are interested. Hopefully everything's getting better at this point. Since I've been sick, I haven't been able to go see him, which has been torture, I gotta tell you. So hopefully we're gonna get that up and out of here relatively shortly. Well, the show has gone through a couple little changes here in the past couple days. See, I was kind of bored with the old layout at the website. Didn't seem to really speak to how I wanted the show to come across. So if you head on over to caffeination.com, again, that's www.caffeination.com. And if you need to hear that again, you can just pause it and rewind it, because I'm not going to speak it any slower at this point. If you head on over, you will see a brand new look, brand new logo, the whole nine yards. Gone is the familiar red and blue logo with my face plastered across the coffee cup. Introduced is a newer, more interesting logo, I think. We still have the Fear the Bean up there, because you really should fear the bean. There's a whole bunch of interesting stuff up there. We're going to start reposting articles and making sure if people get the information they need throughout the week, not just the Sunday and Thursday nights, respectively. The whole Thursday night thing's working out a lot better for us here at the Caffeination, just because Wednesdays is so bogged down with a whole bunch of stuff that happens here that Thursdays are just working that much smoother. Although taping a little bit late tonight, but everything's going all right other than that. Real big news is that through advertising deals and everything else with the podcast, we are happy to announce that our hosting fees are covered for the year. So unless the show becomes insanely popular and I have to start paying extra bandwidth bills, I think we're all right for right now, which I got to be honest with you, is what I originally set out to do with the podcast. I really didn't want to have to, you know, become a burden on my family, you know, financially speaking. I mean, it already takes a good chunk of time out of the night, but hey, I'm the one up latest as it is, so it's not really hurting anybody but me. So just glad to say, you know, glad to have that, and I'd like to thank everybody out there who listens to this show. You're the reason that I'm able to continue to do this, so please pass it on to a friend if you enjoy what you hear. Just wanted to talk a little bit about our sponsor that's making all this possible. If you're looking for a better way to present or work together during your conference calls, your solution can be quite simple. Web conferencing with GoToMeeting. During your call, everyone will log on to GoToMeeting.com and your computer screen will show up on their monitors. It's like you're all in the same room. GoToMeeting is perfect for sales events or product demos, training, or real-time collaboration. Plus, you're not charged a per-minute fee like some of the other providers out there. You can meet as often as you want and as long as you need. And it's only one flat rate. It's awesome. So go with GoToMeeting. You can meet with anyone, anywhere, and you don't ever have to leave your office. That's the real bonus here. You save time because you're not flying across the country. You save money because you don't have to pay for a flight. And so basically, it's a win-win all the way around. So you can see for yourself. You can try GoToMeeting free for 45 days. All you have to do is head on over to GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's PODCAST. That's GoToMeeting.com/podcast and try GoToMeeting free today. All right. little bit of a fuddle there in the middle. For some reason, I'm tripping over myself speaking today. But it's been a rather interesting week, as always, here at the Caffeination. Things are finally starting to slow down at work. So, the semester is officially over. All that's left is a couple other things to hammer out, and then everything will be fine. The students are either on their way out or have gone. Thank God for that. It's wonderful to be free just for a little bit. So I hope everybody out there, like I said, is having a good week, having a nice time of everything. We're always looking for tech stories, so if you'd like to submit one to us, or you find something funny, humorous, even if you don't think that we can use it, or even PodSafe music, feel free to throw it on over to caffeination@gmail.com, and I'll get back to you usually within a day or so and let you know what's going to happen with it. I think we lost an email or three over the past 2 weeks, but we're trying to get back and make sure we got everything covered. First up, we have the Tech Tidbits section. Again, for the uninitiated, this is where we usually just cover some of the offbeat, and we run the gamut between very serious tech news, stuff you should be aware of, and then we go the complete offbeat route, the strange gadgets and things like that are being put online. And then we have the Tech Talk section. Yes, again, here we have a Tech Talk. It's where we explain a concept that somebody's asked us to talk a little bit about. Today's going to be RSS, Real Simple Syndication. Exactly how simple is it? Now, I don't want anybody to get all up in arms and scared about what that may mean. If you're not a very technical person, don't worry about it. We're going to walk you through it, and I promise to use terms that you're going to be able to understand. And it's not going to be something where I'm going to sit there and throw a whole bunch of acronyms at you. Pretty much, I'm sure RSS is probably going to be the only acronym we use in describing anything. So you can stay tuned for that a little bit later on in the program. And then, as always, we have the caffeinated language in the food bites. I keep trying to fiddle with that name at the end, but basically it's all about caffeinated caffeinated goodies and a whole bunch of food links. We've actually started adding in the fun little food links there at the end because they all seem to kind of fit together, so hopefully you'll enjoy that. All right, and then finally, that's about it. So might as well get on into the Tech Tidbit section here. First up, we have a little bit of an article about satellite radio and why it may have failed and why it may not have gained as many subscribers as Sirius and XM originally thought. Now, basically, one of the theories proposed quite often is, if you have two competing networks and you have two very closely related kinds of programming on both, then you're going to split your subscribers right down the middle. So, and then the other thing is, I'm a relatively large sports fan, so I like baseball and I like football. If I wanted to listen to both of them on satellite radio, I would have to buy the both systems. So they're actually talking about a merger, which would eliminate that problem. And then the other front that they're actually losing customers to is the iPod. So it says pretty much you can't listen to Sirius satellite radio, you can't listen to XM satellite radio on an iPod, and everyone has an iPod. That's why podcasts are taking off. And then then they talk about a whole bunch of other stuff that you really may or may not be interested in. So you can head on over there and check it out. So you have the whole HD radio thing. You have the XM, the Sirius satellite. And then we have a rebuttal from my wife. Basically, she said, this is back when I was really interested in getting XM. I was like, it seems pretty cool. There's no commercials or anything like that. I think it's fun. I like the comedy channels and everything. And she said, yeah, I'm not going to pay for radio. I already paid for TV. Don't really need it. And if the local radio sucks, I'll turn it on and put on a CD. There you have it. There is, you could, if your local TV sucked, you could simply put in a DVD, but it's not the same thing. It's not like you're going to put it in a DVD of random shows. You could make one, but you could also make a CD of like a mixtape or something like that and throw it in there and have your own little DJ party heading down the highway. And now you can plug your iPod into your car stereo and the whole nine yards like that. So basically, people seem to be very adverse to spending money for radio. Radio has always been free, so I think trying to introduce a scheme into there where you're still paying for it. And then, of course, they started up some of these channels without commercials, which was fabulous. Then they started adding commercials in. I mean, every once in a while when I'm sitting there and I'm watching cable, I sit there and go, you know, why the heck am I watching commercials if I'm paying, you know, an arm and a leg to actually have this service in my house? And I really only watch one show a week, and that's Lost. So, I mean, I could probably just cut the whole cable. If it wasn't for everybody else in the household, I could probably cut the whole cable bill down to just internet and be perfectly fine with juiced on my computer and watching Lost the day afterwards on ABC.com. But as the situation is, we're going to continue to stay the course here. By the way, for anybody out there interested in Juiced, it's the basically it's the content providing software on your computer. It allows you to watch TV on your computer and a whole nine yards of it. It's pretty cool. So far, I've been watching a lot of the older strongman competitions. Apparently, they just signed a content deal with CBS, not ABC, which is the only... Again, since I watched Lost, that would be outstanding. But apparently they've signed a whole bunch of content deals with a whole bunch of different people, so there's going to be more and more stuff coming there. It's fun to see some of the smaller niche programming, but it's you can head on over and email me at caffeination@gmail.com, and I'll send you an invite if you'd like to try it out. Just make sure to include your name and your email address, and then you'll get the invite right on over there. I think I have just over 990 of them left at this point. So if I missed one of the people who originally asked, please feel free to remind me, because I will send it right along to your way. All right, now everybody always used to make fun of me when I said, you know, and they called me paranoid when I said, you know, I don't want to sign up to read my news online. This was in response to a lot of the newspapers out there who have the subscription-only articles. They have this wonderful blurb and this wonderful headline. You click on it and say, oh, I'm sorry, you really need to subscribe to see that. What are you talking about? This is the internet. I'm just reading an article. Specifically talking about the New York Times, I've always resisted, you know, signing up for those things just because I really never wanted to. That, and I knew exactly what they were going to do. They were going to use the data for advertising, which, you know, is fine and dandy for certain things, but I don't feel the need to have 16 million different user profiles all across the internet. Well, long and the short of it is, now the New York Times has released an article saying that they're actually using all of that information that you've lovingly given them for data mining. Not saying, oh yeah, we're using it for targeted advertising, which is the usual industry buzzword to kind of gloss over the whole subject. No, they actually came right out and said it. We're data mining. It's kind of like saying, oh yeah, we're executing people, as opposed to saying, oh no, we're giving a lethal injection. There's a harshness to the term that's kind of funny. And that's about all I have to say on that. So if you signed up for the New York Times, be prepared to start getting some fun advertisement. Either when you're looking at the New York Times or in your inbox. All right, now the next up we have the worst green technology ever. But it sure looks like fun. Basically, if you head on over to the link that we have over at thecaffeination.com, there's a new gadget that's thrown out there on Engadget. It's called the Spam Trap. What it does is it automatically prints any spam email you get and puts it into a little bin. Then this little bin gets lovingly shredded all over your floor. Well, not saying exactly how wasteful this is. It does produce a very satisfying pile. So I know that if I had the spam comment thing turned on to one of these things, we just reached the 1,100 spam comment mark since November. That's an insane amount. And I get more spam email than I care to imagine. So, I mean, I think I get somewhere around 150 pieces a day just in the caffeination@gmail.com account. Because that one is the most public email account I have, it gets spammed mercilessly. However, Google Gmail, rather, is a very, very clever spam trap, and I usually only get one or two that actually gets through. So if you'd like to, if you hate trees and you dislike the environment intensely, and you'd like to produce some waste that has no apparent use other than compost, and even then it'll be tainted with chemicals and everything, then please head on over there and find out how to build your own spam trap. But, alright, moving right along, we have there's a high-tech new bike out for some of the newbies that would like to try biking, or people who are just looking to get back on into biking. Now, I'm one of the people who's trying to get back into biking. I have an old 21-speed mountain bike that I was using mid to late teenage years. So the only problem is it has a funky shifter on it. It has a grip shift. So instead of the little levers that you click up and down, it has like a something where you turn it like a motorcycle. It's stuck somewhere in the middle of there, and when you're riding up a hill, it, you know, every once in a while a gear throws off and then you fly off the bike. It's kind of a feature. I like to think of it as a operating system error. So while I'm tuning that, then the people who are riding the new coasting Shimano shifting bike have a new fun feature. There's no shifters anywhere on that, but that's not to say that this is a one-speed bike. Despite its retro look, it's a $450 top-of-the-line bicycle that shifts automatically. As soon as it encounters greater resistance, it automatically and apparently seamlessly shifts to an easier or harder gear to allow you to apply the correct amount of riding pressure. And the fun little thing about it, you'll notice there's also no handbrakes on this. It has the old kiddie bike style back pedal brakes, which I always kind of liked. I always thought they were kind of fun, especially when the kids in the neighborhood would ride them real fast and slam on the back pedal brakes and skid the tires across the pavement and see who could make the longest skid mark. So, that kind of fun is back with the coasting from Shimano. So if you find that fun, that's the automatic transmission of bicycles. I wonder exactly how it works, and they have some of the close-ups of the chain, and it looks nothing like any bike chain I have ever seen. And it's a really spiffy-looking bike, so let's see what else we have here. Okay, next up, we have one of the most expensive remote-controlled toys that I have ever seen, but also one of the most awesome. What would do this? Now, this is a very expensive toy, like I said, so we're roughly talking $130 for this remote-controlled tank. This is a highly detailed remote-control tank that is an almost exact replica of the Tiger tanks used in World War II by the German forces. These are the same Tiger tanks where, if you ever watched Kelly's Heroes, the ones where they were inhabiting the town and they ended up fooling with the Shermans, and they only had one real weak point, apparently. You had to shoot them from the rear end. But these are unbelievably detailed, and apparently, despite being remote controlled, or in addition to being remote controlled, there's a targeting system on there to allow you to play laser tag with these with up to 5 other tanks. So you could have your own little Desert Storm thing in your backyard, to place in your sandbox or whatever else you feel like doing. 5 hits will effectively disable your tank, and you can have up to 4 adversaries. I think they said that, but so up to 5 other adversaries, so 6 tanks in total doing battle in your backyard or wherever you happen to be. So I just thought that was kind of fun. Passed it along to you. Hopefully you find that interesting. And if you'd like to irritate your pets, I mean, because personally, I think they're kind of slacking off. If you'd like to irritate your pets with a way to locate them, then you can buy this next thing. It's called the PetLink Dog Collar Figures GPS for Peace of Mind. So you can go onto their website and use the GPS Pro unit, which it looks roughly the size of like a 1995 pager. So I mean, we're talking a really chunky piece of hardware that's going to be hanging from your dog's neck. I'm hoping you don't have a Chihuahua, because you might have to strap it to its back at this point. There is no cat version of this because, well, frankly, cats dislike collars to begin with, and if you're going to put something this bulky on there, you're probably in for a world of hurt trying to get it back off, which you do because you have to recharge it. So that I could definitely see somebody say, "Oh man, where's Fido? I think somebody left him out." And you plug it in, you type in, and it says, "Where is he?" "He's right next to me at the who forgot to so you could just see the whole thing. Who forgot to take the little GPS unit off there and clip it back onto Fido's collar? So I could see some problems with this. Now, if it was kind of solar powered and had like a little blanket that you strapped onto your dog to make him feel a little bit more humiliated, I could see this being a real winner. But still, just thought it was kind of fun. Thought I'd put it out there. Apparently, it's for European use because the plug that they have there is not an American plug. So don't know much else. Now, next thing we have here is I just called it a doodad because I really don't know what it is. But It's the newest innovation in cooling overheated athletes. Now, you've heard of ice vests and cool mist sprays and everything else like that, but when you're in danger of serious heat stroke and heat exhaustion and everything like that, what you need to do is you need to get your core body temperature down. That's the temperature on the inside of your chest. So if you put a ice vest on top of you, you already have to go through layers of fat, layers of bone, until you get to the actual core of yourself. And heat exhaustion and heat stroke are nothing to mess around with. They're very deadly and very quick moving if once you reach a certain point. So apparently a bunch of scientists got together, scientists, engineers, whole nine yards, and found a different but stranger way to alleviate this problem. Basically, there's a jar that you stick your hand into, and then a cuff wraps around your wrist. A slight vacuum is created where your hand is, so that it actually increases the circulation to your hand. Now stay with me, I know this sounds odd. Inside this little bubble that your hand stays in, there's a grip, so you would grip this, and it cools the palm of your hand. With the increased circulation in your hand, it's actually cooling a significantly larger section of the blood that then travels back up your arm and goes into your core. So they said that traditionally, using this kind of method, you can actually cool the core temperature of somebody's body down. There's a whole bunch of stuff. Now, you don't actually feel cooler, which is the weird thing about this, but it says you can cool 4 to 5 times faster. So it increases their endurance by a certain amount of percentage, like 25%, recovery rate by 50%, and increases fat oxidation by 15%. I don't even know. But still, it just seems to be a really good, really interesting idea. I'm glad somebody's thinking outside the box with this, because, I mean, everything else is kind of a pedestrian solution. Oh, you're supposed to lay them down in a cool area. All right, well, what happens when they get nearer to that critical stage. Well, this is the kind of thing that can hopefully bring somebody back to a more normal operating temperature. So there's not going to be any more funky ice vests or whatever else. But I'm pretty sure the athletes would still appreciate the cool mist breeze things that they have on the sidelines. But still, next thing we have up here is a rather pedestrian sign that I found out there, but I thought I'd pass it along to you. I might actually start posting this in my lab. I think the sign, it's not really big enough, but I'll find a way to make it bigger. It's a, it looks kind of like a square tilted on the side, so it's a diamond-shaped sign, yellow, or safety yellow, rather. One person covering their head, another person holding a computer monitor over it. It says, "You are being monitored," and the monitor is kind of a way of, it being, look like it's thrown down or in a threatening manner. This just brought around the whole idea that it's really stupid to explain a visual gag. So you just head on over to caffeination.com, or if you're on our mailing list, you'll get the get the show notes, and you can follow along with the game here, and you'll see the whole it's in its graphical glory. So all right, now I'm just gonna geek out just for a little bit. I'm a huge Transformers fan. I loved them from when I was a kid, and that whole nostalgia thing bringing back. So I'm really excited and very paranoid about this movie that's coming up in the summer. So especially when there's like linked screenshots and all of these other things that are coming out. People are leaking this thing, they're leaking that, and there's tiny little dribs and drabs of information coming out. People are showing grainy photos of prototype toys, taken from Bandai or wherever else they're being manufactured. Well, apparently the director decided to end all that, and especially since the movie's ramping up the final edit phase, so he decided to throw a whole bunch of image captures of the main characters for the movie up on his blog, and they're linked up over at Gizmodo. So if you're interested in the movie, you can head on over there so you can see pictures of Starscream. Let's see, who all is it? You see pictures of Starscream, Ironhide, Optimus Prime, Megatron, Blackout, Bumblebee, Frenzy, and Jazz. So that's kind of cool. The only thing that I'm honestly irritated about, and then we're going to move on here, is that Bumblebee is not a VW Bug, and that's only because the Volkswagen Corporation does not support war or violent toys or anything like that, so they did not give their permission for their likeness to be used for Bumblebee. So Bumblebee's actually a Camaro. He looks pretty cool, but still. Another little geekish thing here is for anybody out there who's still a fan of The Simpsons, I still am. I mean, everybody keeps ragging them. Oh, they've been horrible the last 7 or 8 years. You know what? I think they're still as funny as they always have been. You just become a little immune to humor, that's all. I mean, you know what to expect. It's a very stable show. I mean, I'd hazard to say that, you know, the writing on it hasn't dipped. It's just stayed at a constant level. I mean, with a show like that, you expect it to always push the envelope. It's still pretty humorous to me, so I find it interesting to see this movie coming up this summer, and apparently they're producing 100 limited edition Xbox 360s. Completely yellow, branded for the movie with a little Homer face on the side and a yellow controller. Now, if they had 2 yellow controllers, I think it would be awesome. But thought this was fun, thought I'd pass it along to people. And then the other thing that's coming up with The Simpsons is that sometime next year, or this year, I can't really tell from the article, The Simpsons are going to be celebrating their 400th episode on TV. That's insane. And there's actually going to be a new video game coming out where you can control members of the family, and apparently they get superpowers. So I just thought that was fun. Back to the more serious news. Any of you graphic designers out there, anybody out there who has a very large interest in color and how things are displayed on the screen and how people are supposed to see things. And if you've ever tried designing something for somebody who's colorblind, then this might be real interesting to you. There's a program out there. Now, it's called a colorblindness simulator. Actually, simulator would probably be a really good idea for this, but it says decolor your world. Now, I'm having trouble finding the link to the actual program. This is more of a write-up of it, but they're saying that roughly 5% of the male population is certifiably colorblind. Then they make a crack about how none of us can dress. But this is just really, really cool. And it says, you know, like there's red-green colorblind, there's people who can't see any color. And what it does is it simulates with various images, removing those colors from the spectrum so that you see what they see. Now, this is really good for graphic designers because people commonly say, okay, well, I'm going to meet you in the yellow section, I'm going to meet you in the green section. Well, to a person who's colorblind, the yellow section could look just like the green section, or the green section could look just like the red section. They're both going to look brown. So you need to have other visual clues to where you are, other than just the color section, like a G or an R or something in there, to, you know, kind of help these people along. So if you'd like to see if your website layout and everything else like that is colorblind safe, then you can head on over and find out more about the Color Blindness Simulator and decolor your world. So next here, if you read my blog a little while ago, apparently they were going to be sending the ashes of James Doohan into space. He's more commonly known as Scotty from the original Star Trek. Now, despite what some of the comments on the linked story say, and they're incorrect in this, they said, why are they wasting all these resources searching for ashes when they're supposed to be dispersed in space? When your ashes get sent to space, they come back. There is no way you can have your ashes sent to space and then released. That just doesn't happen. Then you become orbital debris. So there's these companies that send your ashes into space. Basically, they don't even send them completely into space. They send them up to the upper atmosphere, the outer atmosphere, above what is technically considered the outer limits of the atmosphere, and then they fall back to Earth and they're retrieved and given to the loved ones after they've been out, you know, out in space. I see a really good idea for a comic book there. You know, Grandfather's Ashes, bring back Alien Symbiont. I mean, news at 11. That'd be kind of cool, but still. Apparently, the spaceship carrying James Doohan and Mercury astronaut Gordon Cooper and a whole bunch of other people, around 200 people's ashes, were lost after they crashed into the mountains of... Wait one second. Okay. They don't actually say there. I think it's the mountains of Utah for some reason. But just kind of horrible to think that, you know, the company wouldn't have a little bit better control over these things. You're charging these people somewhere around $500 a pop just to send your ashes on a little trip. So that really sucks, and I hope they find what they're looking for there. And then the one of the other things that I found here, I think this is actually the last, yep, this is the confirmed last thing in the tech tidbits section here today. We're trying to give you a lot of content, trying to get you on your way. HBO exec proposes DRM name change. Apparently the problem with DRM, or for those of you who not in the know, digital rights management, basically it's the programs that are in there that lock your iTunes tracks so that you can't play iTunes tracks on your Creative Zen jukebox or on your Zune or anything else. So it's basically the little programs that stop you from moving your tracks around. And he says the problem with DRM is not that, you know, it doesn't work. No, no, no. It's the problem that people don't like the name. That's exactly right. So he proposes a change to the DCE, the Digital Consumer Enablement. I always thought enablers were kind of like the connection for druggies, you know, kind of like the guys who gave you the money and said, oh, yeah, sure, the first one's free. But so digital consumer enablement. So it allows you, he says, to quote unquote, to use contents in ways they haven't before, such as only being able to use whatever you buy on an iPod and nothing else. Because as before, you would have been able to take that same music track and play it on pretty much everything. So, of course, you know, you're now being enabled. So I'd just like to inform you all that you're being enabled, but not with this podcast, with other things. So hopefully you'll find that interesting. I think he's completely full of crap. I don't understand how these executives get so high up in the company. I mean, maybe it's the thinner air up at the top of the food chain there, but maybe, you know, somebody just didn't think to say, yeah, you know, Bob, maybe you might want to back off that statement. You kind of sound like an idiot. I mean, there has to be some nice, tactful way of saying to the CEO or whoever decides to open his mouth that, you know what, we're going to keep that one internal. That's going to be a trade secret. That's what that is. You know, I don't want you to talk to anybody ever, really. Just smile and nod, wave. You're Miss America. You're Miss America. Ride in the car, that's fine. But seriously, some of these executives just come out there and say the most outlandish things. So prepare to be enabled by HBO. That's all I can say there. That about wraps up the tech tidbits section here. Hope you enjoyed that. We have a short little tech talk today about the RSS and what is it, how simple is it exactly, you know, just run down a couple things, of course. Define it. First off, RSS means real simple syndication. What it is it's a file that exists separate from whatever web page you're viewing. You'll find them on news sites, on some of the other sites that you might not even think about, but you'll find it on places like caffeination.com, Engadget, Gizmodo, news sites that have frequent updates sometimes, some things that aren't very frequent, like webcomics and things like that. They all have RSS feeds. And if you're using Firefox and you look up in the top where your address bar is, on the left-hand side, of course, you'll see a wonderful address such as caffeination.com. And then if you look on the right-hand side, you'll see a little orange icon, which has been adopted by everyone in the industry. It's open source, so Microsoft's using it now. I mean, it's become the standard icon for what has been known as RSS. So it's a orange icon with a dot and then two waves. So it's kind of radiating out of it. So what this is the original, this tells you when your content is updated. So basically, this is a file that exists separate from that hierarchy. It gets constantly updated. So every time I post a new show to the Caffeination, every time I post a new article, this file, which it has stays the same name, gets that content squeezed down into it. So all that somebody has to do is use an extra program called an RSS reader or a feed reader. They check that file and see if it's newer than the last time they looked at it. If it's newer, then they pull the information out of it. And then, boom, you have the new web page down on your computer. I know it might sound a little complicated now, but just let me give you some of the general uses. Now, if you're like me and you have like a whole bunch of web comics you read a couple times a week, then this can really simplify your life. Basically, you pull the feed one time from every one of the web comics that you look at. So Penny Arcade, PvP, Control-Alt-Delete, I mean, you go down the list of all the ones that you really like. And you just pull the feed once, you put it in your feed reader, which we're going to get to talking to about just a little bit. And then every time they post a comic, even if they're late that day, Every time it gets posted, your feed reader will check to see if there's an update and then automatically download the content for you if you set it to. So it can be really fun. I mean, you don't ever have to worry like, oh, you know, I forgot to go check today. Another thing that's really good, it's been used in the financial world a lot. So if you check your stocks all the time, there's RSS feeds for stock prices. There's RSS feeds for, you know, news out there. So you don't ever have to go to a website. You don't have to go to like CBS.com or your local news station if you want to find all the local news. You just put the RSS feed in your reader and it automatically downloads the new content as it becomes available. Now you can set how often you'd like your feed reader to check. So most people have it set to like an hour. I usually have mine set to about an hour and a half, 2 hours, just because I read a lot of feeds. So I mean, if there's three or four articles that download at a time, I'm fine with that. But I usually save a lot of them up till the end of the day and then read them at night right before I go to bed. Yeah, just so I can get a good idea of what's going on. But there's some that I check throughout the day, like a lot of sports blogs and things like that that I read. But one of the things that RSS has made possible is podcasts through the use of something called enclosures. Basically, there's a tiny little section in the RSS feed that actually says, hey, you know what? This website's all well and good, but there's actually an extra section to this that's an audio content. You might want to download that along with it. So what you can do is anywhere where there's a podcast, if you subscribe to the RSS feed, every time somebody posts an article with an audio attachment, which is all podcasts are, it's an MP3 attachment to a normal article. Sometimes there's not even very much of an article there. If you've ever listened to Adam Curry's Daily Source Code, he used to have a little bit better show notes, and now it's down to like 6 words and some links. But we'd like to pride ourselves on our show notes. We think they're pretty fun, pretty spiffy there, so hopefully you do too. By the way, if you'd like to subscribe to our mailing list to get the show notes direct to your inbox, and you just shoot us an email over to caffeination@gmail.com, or you can head on over to the new webpage at caffeination.com and click the subscribe here button up at the top. It's a one-time thing. If you ever feel like getting off the list, just let us know and boom, you're off. No problems, no worries. All right, now there's two feed readers that I'm particular to. The first one's Thunderbird, because it's the free email client that Mozilla has. So if you're using Firefox, you should probably give a shot to Thunderbird. And Thunderbird makes it really easy to subscribe to RSS feeds. So whatever web page you're looking on, you can click the little orange box up at the top, and it'll say, oh, you've clicked on an RSS feed. What would you like to do? You can subscribe to it in, and then you can add it as a live link in Firefox to where every time this RSS feed gets updated, it'll appear in your bookmarks. Or you can add it to Thunderbird so that it'll add, and it looks just like another inbox, and the inbox is labeled whatever the site's name is. So, for instance, if you subscribe to the RSS feed from caffeination.com, every time I post a new article, you'll see a 1 or a 2, depending on how many articles get downloaded. So it's really convenient. You never really have to worry about heading around to 16, 17 different articles to get all your information in. It's awesome. Now, the other one, if you're a very mobile person and you don't have applications that you can take with you from one place to another, you can head on over to google.com/reader. And it's a wonderful online article, a wonderful online feed reader. You can actually listen to podcasts on it, too. So hopefully that kind of gave you a little bit of information about RSS. If you'd like me to go into it a little bit more, please send me an email. I'll talk a little bit more about it. Wanted to give you the kind of general overview. Now, RSS can really simplify your life. If you're somebody who's addicted to news, who likes to know how things are running, I would heartily recommend using one of those two applications to just gather all the news so you don't miss any of the articles. It's really a fun way to check out all your content. All right, now we are running nice and long today. Hopefully everybody's enjoying the show. We're actually going to try and shrink the size of the show. We tried it last time, and it ended up sounding like chipmunks. For those of you who downloaded it, I'm very sorry. We do have the caffeinated links here, but before we get to that, just wanted to make sure you knew where you could find us. That's caffeination.com, www.caffeination.com, and you can send an email to caffeination@gmail.com if you find a fun little link or anything like that out there that you think we might enjoy. Let's see what we have up here in the caffeinated links and food bites section. I really have to find a good name for that. Also, by the way, we're also looking for a good name for that section. All right, now the first article is up in Russian, so our first site's actually up in Russian, so if you understand it, you'll know a little bit more than I do. But this defies translation. These are beautiful pictures of coffee art. Basically, you take like a real thick latte or an espresso or something like that, and then you dribble the cream into it in a certain pattern, and you create beautiful works of art. They have things from such like, you know, little ghosts to smiley faces, teddy bears, Winnie the Pooh, suns, there's a jack-o'-lantern picture. I mean, it's just it's impressive what some of these people can do. So there's a definite art to it. So coffee art, you can check that out. It's at coffeetime.ru/coffeeart. So hopefully you'll find that fun. And hey, if you can read Russian, you have the Cyrillic character set installed on your computer, then you're all good there. Next little thing we have here is actually more coffee truths. Some of the new information that's coming out about coffee, and you know, some of the fun information that's out there about it. So it says basically somebody decided to test the coffee and the dehydration myth. Now, I've always held that this is a myth. People say, oh, coffee's a diuretic. Of course you're going to be dehydrated if you drink a lot of it. What are you doing drinking coffee in the middle of the day when you're working outside? Well, frankly, I like coffee. And there's been recent studies that actually say, you know, you perform better at athletic activities if you have coffee in you. So coming soon to a banned drug list near you, the Olympics are now going to ban coffee. Completely off the cuff. No clue if it's actually going to happen. It's probably on a banned list somewhere. But basically it says after you drink a cup of coffee, you have the urge to use the bathroom. So you end up urinating a little bit more. And they say, oh, of course you're getting dehydrated. No, no, no. What they did was they have a controlled study. They had basically 60 guys, all men between, I think, 24 and 40. They gave them a set amount of caffeine a day, something like 226 milligrams. No clue how they measured it out. But, hey, I think they might have even averaged it to 2 cups of coffee during their normal activity throughout the day, and they measured their hydration all through it. Then after 2 weeks, they doubled a third of the study up to 400 and some odd milligrams of caffeine. They kept the other one at 226, and then they had the other one do cold turkey, no caffeine at all. What did they do after a couple weeks after that? Well, they tested the samples, and apparently everybody had the same level of hydration. It says basically the only problem that most people are seeing is if you were to drink a liter of water, you'd go to the bathroom shortly thereafter. That's about as much as it gets. And then the other thing that they were talking a little bit about is they said coffee disturbs your sleep. It doesn't necessarily disturb your sleep, but it actually changes the way you sleep. It says you have a much more shallow sleep. You end up sleeping a shorter amount of time, which could account for the fact that I don't actually sleep very much. But I don't drink coffee at night very much either. So just a fun little link to an article over there. Hope you enjoy it. What else do we got here? Summer Warfare. These are the links to some of the ultimate grills that are out there. Definite fun little kitchen accessories. I just thought I'd link out there and show you some of the fun, more interesting ones. They have the old-fashioned smokers, the new-fashioned smokers, all kinds of wavy stainless steel concoctions to perfectly grill your thing of choice. Completely losing my marbles here, but let's see what else we got. Oh yeah, the toaster or hot diggity dogger. Well, apparently this thing is actually called the hot diggity dogger. It's a toaster for hot dogs. So you put the hot dogs into the wiener holes. I'm going to let that one sink in for a minute. But yes, you put the hot dogs into the wiener holes and the buns into the bun holes, and you push the little thing down, and it cooks them to your tastes, and then pops them all up. Then you take the hot dogs out of the wiener holes, and you take the buns out of the bun holes, and you arrange your hot diggity dog as you would normally. So your hot diggity dogger, the easiest way to get your hot dog fix. So kind of interesting, kind of fun, crazy invention. We'll see how well it sells, but still. Let's see what else we have here. Oh, yes, if you remember a little bit last week, I think maybe, we talked about the 3D printer. Basically, you know, a device capable of creating complex 3D models out of a strange substance. This it was like some kind of plastic polymer or something like that. How about the most evil idea for a 3D printer yet. It's called the Candy Fab 4000. It builds whatever you want out of sugar. So apparently you can eat whatever you design. Yes, it takes a little while to do, but you know, it takes a little while to actually conform or to form a piece. So if you're trying to make a giant screw or something like that, like they have in some of the pictures, I'm pretty sure it's going to take a little while. But hey, you can head on over there and check that out. And then the last little thing here, we have a little safety tip that you might want to pick up for those of you who are weekend warriors, outside grillers during the summer. I might actually see if I can find one of these. It says, fire in the pan, Tundra puts it out. There's a new aerosol spray can fire extinguisher. It's around the size of a spray paint can. It contains four times the amount of flame retardant than a normal size fire extinguisher that you would use in your kitchen, which is roughly about 1.5 times the size of a spray paint can. So four times the amount that's in one of those. Three times the amount of matter that's in... I don't even know. Okay, three times the amount of matter that's in normal spray cans. So, hey, pretty cool. And the best part about it, it says cleanup's actually easy too. So you spray it on, then you wipe it off with a damp cloth, and you're fine. You're ready to go again. I could have used one of these a little while ago, back before I figured out how to disable the smoke alarm. So it was this horrible incident. I was trying to make pancakes with a pan that wasn't seasoned. Sprayed the pan down and started smoking. The fire alarm went off. So went, pulled the fire alarm off the wall. By the time I got back, the pancakes were burning and there was a little flameage going on. So this probably would have helped that. Instead, I ended up beating it with a towel until it went out. It was probably one of the more intelligent things that I've done in my life. So that about wraps up today's Caffeination. Hopefully you find it fun. Just remember, head on over to caffeination.com to check out the brand new spiffy site design. Hopefully everybody enjoys that. We are looking for comments on it. The Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. And you can find all those shows over at techpodcasts.com. We're also proudly listed over at the Blueberry Network. That's Blubrry. That's Blueberry without the E's. It's a social podcasting site. It's kind of like a MySpace for podcasts, if you will. And if you're looking for the MySpace of the Caffeination's MySpace, rather, you can head on over to myspace.com/caffeination. And as always, you can send us comments, feedback, suggestions, and hate mail over to caffeination@gmail.com. Just like to thank everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for doing everything that you're doing. Keep those comments rolling in. Thanks for listening, people, and stay caffeinated.